Grace and peace to you in God our Creator and in Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Our country, and I think because of our country, much of the world has become fascinated by superhero movies. We love fantasy stories such as The Lord of the Rings and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or the ones that are set in space, such as the Star Wars series. I think part of the appeal of these stories is that the conflict between good and evil is simple and clear. There are few or no gray areas, no complex mix of good or evil, not much ambiguity. One is either on the side of Sauron, Darth Vader, and the Joker, or on the side of Gandalf, the Jedi Knights, and Batman. And the good guys always win. Mark's gospel has a similar dynamic, portraying a cosmic conflict between God in Jesus and all the powers that defy God. When Jesus says, "The kingdom of God has come near," one way to understand the kingdom of God language is that it refers to God's reign, God's realm, as opposed to all the powers that would diminish life for God's people, whether that be the Roman Empire or demonic forces. From its first verses, Mark sets the scene for this cosmic conflict between the Spirit of God and the demonic powers or unclean spirits of the world. Jesus bursts on the scene as a grown man when he is baptized by John, and the heavens are ripped open. The Spirit descends upon him, and a voice proclaims, "You are my Son, the Beloved." Immediately after his baptism, Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he is tempted by Satan for 40 days and cared for by angels. There's a touch of the supernatural in all of this story. When Jesus returns from the wilderness, he immediately calls four men to follow him. And they come to a synagogue in Capernaum, and Jesus begins to teach. Then suddenly a man in the synagogue cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" We are told that the man is possessed by an unclean spirit. And while the people who hear Jesus are amazed by his teaching and wonder about his authority, the unclean spirit recognizes him right away. "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Imagine the scene. It must be startling to have a man cry out like that in the middle of your synagogue prayers. And Jesus replies, "Be silent, come out of him," and the result is dramatic. The man convulses and cries out. The unclean spirit resists the greater power that it encounters in Jesus, but that spirit is driven out. This conflict between Jesus and the powers of evil continue through Mark's gospel. In a few weeks, we'll read the much longer and more detailed story of the Gerasene demoniac, who names the spirits possessing him as Legion. Time after time, Jesus is shown to have authority over the spirits and powers that diminish and threaten life, which is great. But I struggle with this story and how it plays out in our lives. It can feel like one of those things that happened back then, sure, but do we see it happening in our lives today? We all love to see good triumph over evil in our fantasy stories, but real life is so much more complicated. Too often, it feels like the powers that destroy and diminish life are in control. Violence and war, greed, racism, homophobia, and transphobia all lead to poverty, suffering, and injustice across the globe. Even the suffering and degradation of the earth itself. I, for one, would love to see a superhero cosmic Christ sweep in and defeat the powers of evil once and for all. Sweep out the greedy and the violent and those who use power for their own gain. I'd like to see Jesus cast out some demons. Demons of violence and lust for power. Demons of greed and injustice. Demons of prejudice. But too often that's not what we see. Evil flourishes, greed prospers, and real life is not at all black and white. Too often it's not even clear who the bad guys are or where the greed, hatred, and injustice begin. So this week, I found some things in my study that helped me make sense of this story, so I hope that they'll help you as well. I learned from the Working Preacher podcast that the words the unclean spirit speaks to Jesus, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" are an approximation of a Greek phrase that is difficult to translate. It suggests that the spirit's challenge to Jesus has to do with a turf battle between the unclean spirit and the spirit of God. And so it could sound something like, "What are you doing here, Jesus? Are you crossing into my territory? What is yours in this place and what is mine?" And this story of Jesus performing the exorcism lays out a claim. Jesus is here to take everything, to go anywhere and everywhere for the sake of compassion for God's people. Jesus is going to enter the most unexpected, the most dangerous places to free humanity from the power of sin and evil, even into death itself. Debbie Thomas writes, "What disturbs me is not the who or what the spirit is, but how utterly it ravages the poor man whose body and mind it possesses. The man has no voice of his own. The spirit speaks for him. The man has no control over his body. The spirit convulses him. The man has no community. The spirit isolates him. The man has no dignity. The spirit dehumanizes him." Maybe in our lives we have felt some of those things. And Debbie Thomas continues, "Jesus steps directly into the pain, rage, ugliness, and horror at the heart of this story. He isn't squeamish and he doesn't flinch. His brand of holiness doesn't require him to keep his hands clean. He is in the fear, in the sickness, in the nightmare, ready to engage anything that diminishes the lives of those he loves. Jesus doesn't resist the powers and cast out demons for his own sake, not for his own glory or that reputation that it says at the end that everyone heard about him. Jesus does what he does out of love and compassion toward people who suffer. And he calls disciples to follow him into his steadfast resistance of evil and all that diminishes hope, love, and abundant life." When we consider this cosmic conflict we find in Mark's story of Jesus, we must remember that Jesus is always heading for the cross. Mark's gospel rushes with urgent language and quickly told stories immediately until Jesus gets to Jerusalem. And then it slows way down to tell in painstaking detail Jesus' final encounter with the powers of violence and hatred, prejudice, and lust for power. Jesus is killed, and all seems lost. But God raises him from death, and so defeats evil, sin, and death forever. Our Lutheran theology of the cross reminds us that God meets us precisely in those moments in our lives when we are at the end of our power and all seems lost. We all face unholy powers and unclean spirits. Whether we regard such forces as spiritual, psychological, biological, or cultural, this story tells us true things about how unclean spirits affect and manipulate our lives. Abuse or addiction, mental illness or injustice and prejudice, or simply the awareness that we are complicit in systems of injustice and in the devastation of the earth we call home. This story, the good news of Jesus Christ, tells us that when we feel overcome by these powers, or simply by these natural forces of disease and loss in our lives, God is there. Again, Debbie Thomas writes, "Consider the question the Spirit asks, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?' There is only one answer, everything. I have everything to do with you. Wherever pain is, darkness is, torment is, God is. God has everything to do with us." I heard a story this week from someone who regularly, daily follows Jesus into the hardest places to meet suffering caused by the powers of greed and prejudice. Pastor Rosemary Guzman from Cristo Rey in El Paso told about a time 12 years ago when Cristo Rey was out of money and about $40,000 short to meet their budget. They had a long meeting trying to find solutions, and by the end, they thought they might have to give up and close the congregation. One leader said to her after the meeting, "If God wants this ministry to continue, God will make a way." Within days, Rosemary received a phone call. A man she had never met and his daughter said that his daughter had found faith through her work with Cristo Rey and the Border Servant Corps, and he wanted to make a donation. His donation made up half of the congregation's shortfall. Then, within weeks, the synod stepped in to arrange a loan so that Cristo Rey could continue its ministry. Today, Cristo Rey is a vibrant ministry in El Paso, supported by many congregations around the Synod, including our own, in their work with people who are poor, many of them immigrants. Pastor Rosemary and her colleague, Pastor Juan de Dios, spend much of each week serving and caring for refugees and asylum seekers, some of whom are sheltered at Cristo Rey, and some of whom are on the streets of El Paso. The systems of greed and power and prejudice which lead to violence and injustice and suffering are real and powerful. We all know that. But so is the power of God, which is the power of compassion and mercy, generosity and goodwill, the power of steadfast resistance of evil and care for others. I'd still like to see a superhero Jesus come down and whip this place into shape. But for now, we see a Jesus who casts out unclean spirits by transforming lives one by one, by calling followers to love and heal and minister in his name, who meets us when we have reached the end of our power and offers new life and new hope. Thanks be to God, whose Spirit empowers us and never leaves us. Amen. Mm-hmm.